I, too, yesterday was out of town and went into a place of business and saw a man looking me over. I didn't know what he was looking me over for, but I knew there's a lot of things he couldn't have been looking me over for. I knew I didn't look like a guy to stick up outside the store or anything. But he said, "Are you Brother Shirley?" I said, "That's me." And he had kinfolks here in our church, but he knew Brother Lloyd Talbert real well. Won't know where he was, what he was doing. So you never know when you go out of town. Be as real when you go out of town as you are in the church. Because you don't know who is going to know you. Hallelujah. I want to be the same everywhere I go and everything I do. Hallelujah. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 10. Book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 10. Let's try that. I'm trying to think of two or three things here at one time while I'm getting ready to do this. Book of Ephesians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 10. I hope all the folks that are off on trips and vacations today are having a good time. If they're fishing, I hope they catch fish. If they're riding a Ferris wheel, I hope it'll come back down. In order. Now, I could have said, I hope if they're fishing, they don't catch anything. And if they're in a park somewhere, they're not having fun. I could have said all that. But I'm not saying that. So in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 10, finally. I like that word, don't you? Finally. You ever remember when your mother and dad said, "That's it. That's it. One more time. Just say it or do it one more time. Final. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." What a statement. "Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Then I could say, "Finally, my brethren, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Would the church say amen? You may be seated. Now, I'm really not going to promise you anything today. I probably should have started preaching about 10 or 10:15. And then I would have been sure that I may have come close to being finished by the time we reached 11 o'clock or 11:10, when we're supposed to have the crowd come back in. And Brother Ken Hoffler is going to do AM Live today, and we're looking forward to that. But I hope we've got it hot enough up here by that time that he can just step right into it. Well, I can tell right now that you folks are going to be a challenge today. Hallelujah. I love this passage of Scripture. There are so many things about it. You could take a dozen or two dozen portions of this and make a message out of many parts of the Scripture reading from the book of Ephesians chapter 6. in these 8 or 9 verses. Verse 10 through 18. And so many wonderful things, but I am going to do my best today to enlighten you about some things that you need to be aware of. And if you will listen to me, I probably should move everybody in the church down on the first 4 pews right here in the front and get you right down so that I need to go back in my office and get that shepherd's staff so I could walk down the front and I could touch everybody. So I'd be sure that I had all of your attention, that you were with me all the way. I have made this comment and told this little story a number of times in this church over the last many years. I remember years ago when Sister Shirley and I were still back in Georgia that I had a preacher who was a young preacher and a young pastor who had just started pastoring and had a young family. I think maybe 2 children that were little fellows, 10 years old or less. And when I was in Georgia, he gave me a call one day and said, "Brother Shirley, I had a vision in the night last night, and I don't understand it, and I need some help." And so, long distance on the telephone, he told me that he was in his house, and he recognized every portion of his house. He knew he was at home. And he said, "In the night, I got up. It was so real. Maybe it was a real experience or a vision. I don't know. But," he said, "I went down the hall, and as I passed our guest room where we have family members and friends that visit us, stay in this room, a place that many of us call the guest room. And," he said, "when I passed by this room," he said, "I looked in," and he said, "there was a very hideous looking creature in the guest bed." And said, "when I passed by that room and looked at this," said, "this thing rose up on an elbow in the bed, looked at me and grinned with a smirk at me, and I don't understand this. What does this mean?" And after he and I had talked about that, I preached a message entitled "Demons in the Guest Room." And it has been many years since I've talked about this. Now this thought and this vision, this incident comes roaring back to my mind. And when I talked with him and the Lord helped me give him an interpretation and prayed for him that God would help him through this crisis in his life, I was made aware of how real this situation really is. How many of us, sometimes even unaware, entertain demonic spirits in the guest room? How many of us invite them into our lives? We invite them into our homes. They are a perpetual threat against our personal lives, our personal health, and especially every part of the structure of our lives that pertains to God and His will. These demonic guests are a threat against everything in our lives, and especially our relationship to God. We welcome demonic spirits into our homes. We give them a comfortable place in our guest rooms when we bring the wrong kind of literature into our houses. We welcome them into our homes when we bring the wrong kind of films and movies and such trash into our homes and into our lives. We say, "Come on in. I have a guest room for you, and I have prepared a place for you." And so very often we learn to live at peace. There is an agreement between us and that spirit in our lives and in our homes that we have an armistice. we have an agreement, we have signed a contract with, and we think that we are in control, that I can handle it. I can handle it. I need to say that a lot. I can handle it. I've got it under control. Don't worry about me, preacher. I'm all right. I'm all right. But what you didn't do was read the fine print of the contract between you and a guest spirit in your life. You didn't really read to find out that He will not accept any control without total control. He will not accept your sacrifice unless He has your whole sacrifice. He will let you live loose enough that you can be lost and cast into hell if there's ever a threat that He's going to lose that grip upon you and you're not going to be lost. He's going to rise up and destroy you. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord God. It is the will of God. It is the will of God that we know Him and His power. Hallelujah. I almost feel like pulling my coat off. Hallelujah. I have stood here in this pulpit and I have boasted that it doesn't matter whether it be one devil or 1,000 devils. Let them come. Sister Shirley said yesterday, babe, maybe you ought not ever make that statement again. I said, well, let me tell you something. The devil's never going to let up on me. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what I do. He is going to fight me, resist me, rise up against me, and He is going to torment you. I've thought of that scripture again. You remember years ago when I preached of that city called sin. There was a city in the Bible called sin. Hallelujah. And sin was located in the country of Egypt. And sin was a city on the coast that was one of the greatest fortresses of the country of Egypt. It was a fortress. Well, if you look at all of this, sin was a fortress of Egypt, which is bondage. Hallelujah. Sin. Geographically, literally, historically, sin was a city that was a fortress protecting Egypt, which means bondage. Hallelujah. But the Lord come along and He said this. He said, but sin is going to have great pain. Hallelujah. Sin is going to have great pain. Don't you ever get tired of the devil browbeating you? Don't you ever get tired of him making you sick, bringing trouble into your life, threatening your family, threatening your marriage, threatening your job? Don't you ever get tired of it? Hallelujah! It's time. Oh, praise the name of the Lord God. Let me see if I can find something here. It's time. I don't have an agreement anymore. I have destroyed the contract, devil. And I'm going to serve God. And I'm going to go to the prayer room. And I'm going to get my soul fed. I'm going to get my spirit empowered and anointed by the power and the glory of the living God. I annul. I do away with the contract. You're not going to keep me out of the prayer room anymore. You're not going to keep me out of church anymore. You're not going to keep me from shouting. You're not going to keep me from worshiping. You're not going to keep me from praising God anymore. I have tore up this contract, devil. I will not listen to you anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. Oh, finally. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and be strong in the power of His might. Hallelujah. There has not been a reason or a necessity to talk about this for a while. I'm not afraid to deal with this issue by any means. I am still going to say today, if I win or if I lose, if I live or if I die, if I swim or if I sink, I'm here to tell you, I'm going back on record again. I'm not afraid of any demonic spirit that hell has ever produced. Hallelujah. We are going to win this war. I am going to be a part of a crowd that's going to leave here and go to heaven when all of this is over with. We're going to keep on talking in tongues. We're going to keep on going to the prayer room. We're going to keep on believing in holiness. We're going to keep on believing that God, hallelujah. You know what Jesus said? We like that scripture, Matthew 28:19. But I like that scripture in Matthew 28:18. And Jesus said, I want you to know that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power. That doesn't leave room for any other power. I don't care if it's disease. I don't care if it's demon possession. I don't care if it's demon oppression. He said all power. All power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I feel a wildness coming on with this right now. Hallelujah. Paul said that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing than a servant. He's under tutors and governors. He's just a little boy that doesn't have any authority, any power, even though he's an heir. But he said when the fullness of time was come, that God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our Father, into our hearts, that we could cry, Abba, Father. That's what I want hell to know today, and I want every spirit to know today, that I am a son of the living God. That I am a child of God, been baptized in His name. I got the power of His Spirit working in my soul, and I am not afraid. I am not afraid. I am not afraid. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. You know, hallelujah. Turn them back on, Brother Brian. Praise God. Gets a little scary. Maybe we ought to turn them all off. Hallelujah. Demon spirits in the guest room. The problem with that is, you can live with these spirits in agreement to failure and backsliding and be lost. And they don't care if you go to church. They don't care if you pay tithe. They don't care if you go to the prayer room, as long as you don't get any revival of power, the power of God in your life. They don't care. As long as you can sit there and not be moved. As long as you can sit there and not be exposed. Are you listening to me? As long as you're not moved. As long as you're not changed. If you can live with sin in your life, they don't care how much you could. They'd rather you wouldn't go to church, but they will tolerate you going to church. They are deceptive. Are you listening to me? They are deceivers. They know how to disguise themselves. Paul said that even Satan himself has transformed himself into an angel of light. Into an angel of light. I want to know today, what are you serving? What have you got in your possession? What's living inside your soul? What's living inside your spirit? I'll tell you how to find out what's in your life. I'll tell you how to find out whether it's right or not, what's inside your soul and your spirit. Give God the glory. Give God unrestricted glory and praise. You'll find out. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not worried about wildfire. I'm not worried about fakery. I'm not worried about something being off track. We can deal with that. Just give me some good stuff. Give me some real stuff. I'm not going to stop tongues and interpretation because somebody might abuse it. We're not going to quit having miracles because somebody may fake it. We're not going to quit shouting because somebody may shout that ain't got it. I'm here to tell you, the glory of God will expose him. The glory of God will expose him. Hallelujah. She said, standing by the well, you worship in Jerusalem. We worship in this mountain. Jesus said it. You worship in this mountain. And the Jews worship in Jerusalem. But the Father is looking for some true worshipers. Some true worshipers. Such that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. My God, have mercy. I'm going to have a Holy Ghost fit here in just a minute. Somebody help me preach a little bit here today. Hallelujah. I'm preaching this today because it is so easy for you to be deceived. You play the role of a fool. You hear how easy I said that? You play the role of a fool. I'm not calling you a fool. You play the role of a fool and don't have a prayer life, and you will be swapped off. Hallelujah. The Bible, I told you, this is a good time to say this again. That experience in the prayer room those years ago when I said, Lord, I don't understand this. How can this person, how can they talk in tongues? How can they act like they have the anointing of your Spirit when they are living in sin? How can this be? And the Lord spoke to me. Are you listening to me? The Lord spoke to me and said that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. I said, Lord, I don't understand that. I know the Scripture, but I don't understand the connection of that Scripture in this man. And the Lord said, anytime a person comes to me with any kind of rebellion in their life, they never gain audience with me. I transfer them to another spirit. And they build a relationship with another spirit that is not me, but they don't know the difference. And they think it is me. And they go on in pursuit of that relationship. Are you listening to me? That's why a crazy world that we're living in right now can look around and say, I'm happy, when they have mixed sin with godliness. They have mixed sin with the church. They've brought sin into their lives because God has sent them a strong delusion, and they are believing a lie and living under a curse. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, if sin don't bother you anymore, if you can live with sin, if you can bring it into your life, if you can bring it into your home, if you can bring it into your family, I'm here to tell you tonight, you better pull the dipstick of your relationship to God and see what you really got. Somebody better listen to this preacher today. I'm here to tell you that hell has decided to rise up against you. You better run for your life, honey. You better make way for the door. You better find you someplace that you can go and find peace. Hallelujah. We like so many churches, like Israel. The problem with Israel was the threat of the mixed multitude. That is what is wrong with Living Way Apostolic Church, is the mixed multitude. That is what is wrong with our churches around the world today, the mixed multitude. Hallelujah. Until the true church steps up and brings the anointing of God's power into the place of worship, Listen to what the Word of God has to say. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it said, and I want to emphasize this part, 2 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. The mystery. You got to get that part. The mystery. It is hard to discern the difference between God and demonic spirits. It's hard to discern the difference between the spirit of God and the spirit of devils. It is hard. This week, I looked a person in the face, and this person, because of the overwhelming presence and power of God, this person would look at me and begin to give God some of the most beautiful praise that you could ever imagine. Praise. There was a glow in the face, shine in the eyes. There was sincerity in the voice. And I would sit there or stand there, and I would look at this person for a length of time, and all of a sudden, the same words, same statements, drifted into another sound. And as soon as it would do that, I would say, stop! Stop! And the Spirit stopped. I said, I will not permit you to mock my God with false worship. You will not take over this person and speak through this voice and act like you are giving God praise. Stop. And I said, let the real person give God true worship. And it would come back again with, I've got witnesses sitting in this congregation right now that were there. I said, let this person worship God. Beautiful, Holy Ghost anointed worship. Words would come back, and it would flow so sweet, and all of a sudden it changed. Unless you were smart or sharp in the Holy Ghost, you'd never see the difference. But as soon as it changed, before a half a dozen words could be spoken, I said, stop! I will not allow any demonic spirit in my presence to mock God, my Father, my Lord, and my God. You will not mock Him with false worship and false praise. Are you listening to me today? It's not easy to tell the difference. It's not easy to tell the difference whether you're doing it or whether you're listening to it. I want you to understand, we're not playing games. This is not a game. This is not a game. This is not a game. I'm here to tell you, this is a fight to the death. This is a matter of life and death. We are in a life and death struggle. We are dealing with spirits out of hell. Out of hell. Out of hell. You are the true worshipers of God. You are the true believers in holiness and truth and the power of God. Are you listening to me? And hell is not going to stand by and let you get by with it. But I'm here to tell you, greater, 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 greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord God. The mystery of iniquity. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. The mystery of iniquity. We don't understand it all. We don't understand all these things. Things that we don't know. We have to have God help us. You're not going to the prayer room just because it's a prayer room and it's a place to go. You're going to the prayer room to sharpen your wits that you can combat with demonic spirits. You are going to the prayer room to empower yourself through the power of God. So when you walk out of that prayer room, when those demonic spirits say, you can't worship, you can't be faithful to God, you're not going to believe in holiness and relationship, that you got the power to withstand.
to take a stand.
You see, I'm one of those old-fashioned Bible-believing preachers that I still believe in demon spirits. I still believe in devils. Hallelujah. And devils hate me. They hate me. Hallelujah. I had the privilege of looking a demonic spirit in the face this week and saying, I have met you many times before. You've lost every time. I have never lost to you. You've lost every fight. What are you challenging me again for? Hallelujah. All right. I'm telling you. I right now. Hallelujah. Let me give you an illustration. I'm going to step right down into the pit where they are. If the God that I serve is not able to do it, what is my reason for living in the first place? I have hung every hope in my life on this power and authority. I have put all of my trust in the power of God. If I'm a loser, let me be a loser. You don't know what you're dealing with. You don't know what you're playing with. You're playing a game with something that is pulling you down to the pit. You know why a lot of us are not soul winners? Because we're afraid of the pit. I'm looking at folks sitting here today. I preached an hour this morning, about an hour, in Sunday school staff meeting before church you ever got here. And I preached on dealing with demonic spirits. And I was dealing with commitment to God. Commitment. Relationship to God and commitment and anointing of God. And I'm not saying this scolding or rebuke. This is just a quote. One individual said, I have seen demonic spirits cast out before. And I'm here to tell you, if a demonic spirit ever shows itself and somebody starts to cast one out, I am headed for the door. You know what I did this week? Everybody in the room where I was, I said, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, get out now. Get out now. Hallelujah. Let's quit playing games. Let's quit having a little. I don't want to drag out. Oh, praise God. Let me look around. Hallelujah. Somewhere over in this crowd. Which one of y'all got a formula bottle? Huh? You're out of that? You got one. Go get that for me, Mark. Praise God. That's a true hoffler back there. There's not enough in there to even hit the end of the straw. You know what we've been doing around here a lot? We've just been dragging out bottles. Huh? Anybody wants a sip, you know. Don't hurt anybody's feelings. Don't trouble the waters. Don't stir up anything, you know. Don't trouble this place, you know. You get all them devils stirred up and you'll have a mess on your hands. Hallelujah. Brother Alston still remembers this. I think it may have been his brother, Brother Raymond, I'm not sure, was preaching at Brother Joel Hemphill's when he was in Bastrop. And Brother Raymond Frank said something about he was going to go over to Bastrop that day and stir up every devil in that church. Said he was going to stir them up and command every one of them to reveal themselves. They did it. Called Brother Alsey that night about, 9 o'clock or something, I don't know, about toward the end of church. He said, Brother Alsey, we got people writhing in the floor and slobbering all over the place. The aisles is full. The front is full. Said, we need some help. That happened. That really happened. Hallelujah. I believe there's enough power of God in this place. I would not be afraid to challenge any devil. Hallelujah. We'll just call it off. We'll just tell the musicians, come on down and help us out. And we'll have the rest of this church service down here rebuking spirits and casting them out. Hallelujah. I'm not afraid. Are you listening to me? I'm not afraid. I told the Sunday school group this morning, Lord have mercy, I'm fixing to go into overtime here today. But I told them, some of you, how many of you remember when that young man was demon-possessed over in the other building over there? And I'm going to tell you something. You can't slap him out. You can't ride him out. You can't choke him out. You can't scream him out. You can't do any of that. There's only one authority that demonic spirits recognize, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What did they say to the sons of Sceva? Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Are you listening to me today? Oh, hallelujah. I told the Sunday school crowd today, I may have to preach on this about a week or two, but I told the Sunday school crowd, I said, I was 21 years old. Brother Alsey remembers that long fight we had back in the corner of the prayer room on the fellowship hall over here behind the new building. I still remember the man's name. He was just a kid about 16 years old then. And I was young. I was 21. I never cast out any devils. I wasn't afraid of it. I just didn't know what to do. And so that night, we got that little fellow back in one of those rooms. And I'm here to tell you, buddy, You ever get around somebody that's being delivered from a demonic spirit, if you've got anything in your life that ain't supposed to be there, I recommend you head to the bathroom. Hallelujah. I don't even know who all the people was that was there, but that spirit could see and speak, and I let it speak. I didn't know what I was doing. And that spirit looked around that crowd, and he started telling everything on their lives. He told them where they were nights ago. He told them what they were doing. I mean, there was one guy there, if I remember correctly, was one of the outstanding Christians in that church. And the devil said, I was with you when you went to that bar the other night. I remember. He spoke to one man, Brother Alsey, I still remember. He said, you better get out of here. Your wife's mad because you're back here in this room praying. I still remember that. I don't know how many hours we dealt with that thing. Finally, we got the victory over it. Next morning, Brother Hipfield called me on the phone over at Brother Alsey's house. Brother Shorty, I still hear it. Brother Shorty. You don't talk to demon spirits, Brother Charity. I didn't know. He said, take authority over them. Don't let them talk. What you want to play games with spirits for? Just want to tell everybody that you heard something, saw something, did something? There's no glory for God and all that. Hallelujah. And so, I learned from that. And so that night, this wasn't the first time. It was down the line many times. Hallelujah. Praise God. Goes out one more time. I'm going to give everybody an altar call. Some of you ain't smiling. Ooh. I'm looking around. There's a serious look on some of your faces. You know what I've been dealing with this week? Demonic spirits that turns radios on in the house when nobody's near them. Demonic spirits that take televisions and shine them off the wall with full-size screens. Demonic spirits that open doors and drawers and houses. What am I dealing with? I'm not playing games. Are you listening to me? You better... Hallelujah. You know what I've said in the past? You know why we don't have a lot of spirits rise up in this church? It is simply because there's too much of the power of God. There's too much of the name of Jesus in this house to allow it to take place. Oh, glory to God. But anyhow, I remember that service that night. And I've seen it so many times. People think when they are faced with casting out a spirit, you gotta manhandle them. Put one on each arm, one on each leg, one sitting straddle of them. And somebody slapping them across the jaws or giving them some kind of work over. That don't work. Hallelujah. Praise God. And in that service that night, I wasn't over there when it all started taking place. And some of that stuff was going on. I walked right in the middle of the crowd. I said, back up. Let him go. Don't you hold on to him anymore. You can't conquer that spirit with physical strength.
And that spirit stood there and defied me and told me that it was going to hurt me with both fists. Those of you that were there, remember that it was going to assault me. And its mouth was dirty and filthy. And I looked at that spirit and I said, "You can't hurt me." I said, "In the name of Jesus, I bind your speech." Hallelujah. Some of you remember when I said that, that young man would open his mouth, but no words came out. It happened instantly. There were no words, but the arms were still frailing. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, I bind your strength," and both arms. And stood there with no strength and with no speech. And I said, "In the name of Jesus, sit down." And this person was standing. I'm here to tell you, at least this far from that pew, out in the middle of that prayer area, that far away from the pew. And I said, "In the name of Jesus," I said, "sit down." And he stood there in defiance. And I said, "In the name of Jesus," I said, "sit down." Both of his legs shot straight out. He was slammed back into that pew forcibly. I'm here to tell you, I have never met one and lost the war. I have never gone down in defeat, not because of me, but because I have the power of God in the name of Jesus Christ working in my life. I have his authority. It is mine. Mine. The Bible said he gave them power over unclean spirits. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. You don't know what you're dealing with. Hallelujah. You don't know what you're dealing with. Hey, I've just got a feeling. We need to go ahead. We need to go ahead and do away with this. We need to go ahead and deal with this. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord God. Here we go now. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Only the people that are going to let God have control in their lives are going to be delivered. You got to let God. You got to. What was that song we used to sing years ago? Hallelujah. How'd it go? Let Jesus take over and he'll give up. And let Jesus take over. Oh, give up. And let Jesus take over. Hey, hey, give up. And let Jesus take over. And he'll make a way for you. Oh, hallelujah. I've got just sense enough that I believe it. I've got just sense enough that I believe it, Brother Jones. Hallelujah. Ah, oh, I feel like the preacher said, I feel full of power by the Holy Ghost today. Oh, hallelujah. I want to wake up something inside of you. I want to challenge you. I want to stir you that somehow that your minds will be enlightened, that we are at war with a relentless enemy. We are at war. We are at war. This is a life and death struggle. There is no place of agreement. There is no place of meeting of the minds until it be taken out of the way. Play for me, Sister Debbie. He said, the mystery of iniquity is working until we let God take control. Then he will be taken out of the way. And when we give God control, then shall that wicked be revealed. Then shall that wicked be exposed. Exposed. I've never made it to square one with some of you today. I'm talking in some other foreign language. Hallelujah. Praise God.
I'm talking in another language and I'm not talking about tongues and spiritual things. But you're not hearing. Having eyes to see that don't see, ears to hear that don't hear. You don't know what you're playing with. You don't know what you're dealing with. When you give into your children to go the wrong places, do the wrong things, and wear the wrong things, you are feeding them to a spirit. That spirit will remind you in the years to come that you fed them to that spirit. They will come back to torment you in your heart, in your love, and in your peace with your children because you let them go when they were kids. You allow the wrong music to come into your house. Allow the wrong films and televisions and whatever it is, computers, to come into your house. And you bring those spirits and you welcome them into your guest room to live in your house. He said, if you will give God control of your life, then shall that wicked be revealed. And when he is revealed, the Lord will consume him with the spirit of his mouth. And when that wicked shall be revealed, the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. We're talking about the power of God coming into the place where we are. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord God. Oh, I'm going past my time. Lisa, come here, honey. Hallelujah. Somebody said the doctors don't even know what all this problem is. They don't know why it's causing it. Somebody said a long time ago you were in an accident and had some broken bones and things, and maybe that's what it was. Jesus said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Father, I anoint this child of yours. Lisa loves you, Jesus. She's obedient, Jesus. Lisa's faithful, Jesus. Father, I lay my hand on this child of God to heal this condition in her body, no matter what the... no tanda la bakasito, ira masuto no koyatandama. Firm your word by stretching forth your hand to heal. By stretching forth your hand to heal. Confirm your word. Everybody in this house that's got guts enough to say it, I want you to say, Lord, confirm your word by stretching forth your hand to heal. If the apostles can pray it and it come to pass, we have that authority because God has empowered His church. Are you listening to me today? Oh, hallelujah. Glory to the name of the Lord God. Glory to the name of the Lord God. Glory to the name. You may be seated. Sing.
God, hallelujah. First of all, I'm going to thank my pastor and Brother Troy. He's absent today for this opportunity to share with you what I believe the Lord has laid on my heart. I shared this with our young people in the past, and it's something that really, really grips my heart. But first of all, I would like to, I believe it's like a song, but it's more of a poem. I did not write this. Someone else did. and I want to share it with you. It says, I was being offered on the slave block of sin. I had no chance of freedom ever again. Now hell's demons I could see, all laughing in glee at the prospect of another soul they thought they'd win. Well, as I stood there, I shed a bit of tears as I thought about the wasted years. For I was so filled with shame and disgrace. You see, there was no place to turn, but my heart within me burned as I regarded my helpless estate. Well, you know, the devil made his bid with the things of this world and all the pleasures that sin could afford. But glory to God, outstepped a man who had scars in his hands. And right then I knew that's got to be the Lord. He said it matters not the cost for this one who is lost. And then I turned around, I saw him pay with the goal of his precious blood. Then mercy stepped in where judgment should have been. And I was free, yes, free indeed. For he redeemed me. He redeemed me. He bought my soul from the slave block of sin. And as he broke those chains of strife, I found in Jesus new life. For he redeemed me. He did it for his own. I thank God that he bought me. He paid a price for me. There's no telling where I'd be today if it wasn't for the love and the mercy of God. He didn't owe me anything, but he looked down on me in my despair, in my sin, in my slothful, just out of the miry clay. He showed mercy on me and he bought me. And 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? But you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In Romans 14, oh Lord, praise God. Give me just a second. In Romans 14:7, for none of us liveth unto himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live to the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. I come to tell you tonight, today, that we are not our own. We can't just do what we want to do. We can't just come into this house of God and choose to sit down and to not worship. We've been bought with a price. I know there's things in my life that I want to do. I love to fish. I love to fish tournaments. But I also have a desire in my heart to do the will of God. I have to choose between these two things. I can't just do what I want to do on a Tuesday night. They have Tuesday night tournaments that I like to fish, but I can't. I choose to serve God. I choose to do other things. I can't just go my own way and make my own choices without regard of what the Lord would have me do. And it stirs my soul when I've told our young people many times, when I sit up here and I come to the presence of God, it doesn't matter what I went through that day. It doesn't matter the circumstances that faced me. I'm in the house of God. I have no choice but to worship. See, that is our reasonable service, is to worship God. We have no... The Word of God says, it says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." I was created by God. I was created for His pleasure. That's the only reason that we walk this earth, is to bring glory and honor to my God. All these other things, everything else is going to pass away. But what we do for God is only what's going to last. We can't just go our own way. Or we can't just choose to do just whatever we decide. We come into the house of God. We've got to worship Him. It doesn't matter what you went through. It doesn't matter how many obstacles have come your way. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But He doesn't leave us with that. He says, but the Lord will deliver them out of them all. He will deliver us from every sin, everything that comes against you. My God can deliver you from it. But He's not going to just move in your situation when you can't even worship Him. When you come into this place and you sit down and the preacher preaches and you just fold your arms up and you don't respond to God. We've got to respond to Him. That is the only reason that we live, is to bring honor and glory to Him. And they can sing or whatever they get ready to do, but I challenge you, don't come into this house tonight and sit on your hands and not worship my God. He is worthy of all the glory and all the honor and all the power. Thank you, Jesus. He's been too good to me not to worship Him. He's been too good to me not to lift Him up. He's been so good to us. Every one of us in this house are blessed today. There's no telling where we'd be if the Lord hadn't bought us and paid a great price for us. I thank the Lord for everything He's done in my life and what I know He's going to continue to do. But I challenge you, don't come to this house and not worship God. Brother Shirty, I believe it was last Sunday, I think he may have hit on something about worshiping, and I was hoping that he'd make this statement. He's made it in the past, how that when Jesus died on the cross, there was, from the sixth to the ninth hour, there was darkness. The reason there was darkness because God would not have somebody to come before Him and just to stare, and just to gaze at Him. When we come before the presence of the Lord, we can't just stare. We can't just sit on our hands and watch everybody else. We've got to get involved in the process. We've got to get involved in worship. The song says, worship is the way that our battle is won. If you're going through something, just worship your way out of it. The Lord will deliver you. Thank you.
Glory to God. Let's all stand together. Come on, give the Lord another hand clap offering of thanksgiving. He has spoken to us today. He has given us a sure word today. Hallelujah. While the group sings, come on, minister to us today. Everybody in the house, join in and sing with us. Everybody in the house, sing it one more time. Come on, let's make the building ring with it. Lord, I'll praise Him. Oh, I'll praise Him. Praise the Lamb of sinners slain. Oh, Lord, I'll give Him glory. Give Him glory. Everybody, for Him. Lift our hands all over the house. Let's lift our hands. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for meeting with us here today.